In our topic today, we raise the question how God wants us to understand His Bible, His Word. And to illustrate that tonight in this particular part of the lesson study is to go to the idea of the various figures of speech that are used by God in His Bible. For example, one like is on our sign on Highway 4 for the next few days or weeks of time. Jesus said in John chapter 10, beginning at verse 7, "I am the door of the sheepfold." The more recent version will translate that, "I am the gate." The idea of it is, of course, the same. That's a figure of speech, a metaphor meaning that Jesus is the pathway of the entrance into the sheepfold of God. We will not be people who are doing righteous if we find ourselves trying to, as he says, climb up another way, enter in another way. Does that not make application to those who in their church mannerisms and in their teaching outside the Bible seek to live by climbing up some other way? When Jesus plainly says, "I am the door, I am the gate of entrance. By me, if any man enter in, he shall find pasture." Notice he says that he will find pasture and find rest. He will not have to come and go as you would find someone who would be searching out the gas outside so that you could come back to the sheepfold. But in the sheepfold, there is safety, there is commitment, there is the way of the Lord. And the hireling is the one who will deceive the sheep. The voice they will not hear. He'll be trying to deceive them, but his voice is not the voice of the shepherd. And thus the idea being, he is Jesus, the only one of way of entrance into the sheepfold, and the righteous ways of living are such nature that you can enter in, find pasture, and rest forevermore. It matches up with Jesus' notation to John in Revelation 1 at verse 18, in which he says, "I am the living one," literally, "I am alive. I am he that was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." The idea of our Lord coming to earth and knowing that he would be put to death. He was living, but he was also the one who was put to death. I died, but I came back to live forevermore. And the fact that he lives forevermore calls upon us to obey him as he is our king and our mission leader. For the Lord's cause in the earth in which we live, we're to be people who honor that door and that way of entrance into the Father's way forever. We're not to be people who seek to go up another way. We're not to be people as hirelings who fail to recognize the beauty and the benefit of that sheepfold. It is protected by the care of the shepherd who cares for it and who ministers to it in every kind of good and godly way. Metaphors used in the Bible are figures of speech in which something is its likeness or quality is really being emphasized more so than the exact word itself. We do not see Jesus as being a leather and wood and thong tied together gate or door of entrance into a sheepfold. We do not see him being the wall or the way of poles and so forth that would hold them inside. We see the idea here that it's used to signify the fact that this gate of entrance brings in that sheepfold into a place of rest and safety and goodwill in their lives. And thus it is in our lives that Jesus brings in that good way for us. In the book of Luke chapter 8, we read in reference to the parable of the sower and how that this sower went forth to sow the seed, and as he sowed, some fell on the good ground, some fell on the thorny ground, some fell upon that hard ground, some fell upon that ground that was careless in its ways. And in Luke chapter 8 in verse 11, the disciples said to Jesus this. They said, "Lord, what is the meaning of this parable?" The word parabole is the word to cast along by the side, meaning that something is put along by the side of in order to explain the details of that particular one that has emphasis given. When Jesus talked about the one who shepherds that way of the sheep, he's talking about that way of caring for them. That's more or less a parable even there in John 10. But more, it's a metaphor of I'm the door. And in reference to this here in Luke 8, it's reference to a parable that's just cast along by the side of how we are to meet the hearts of mankind. We're to be people who meet the hearts of mankind. Jesus said, the seed is the word of God. And they that fell upon the stony ground were those who had the stony heart. They had a hard, resisting way of life. Only a little bit of moisture would be found, and only a little bit of growth would be offered. Whereas those who fell among the thorns would find themselves amidst that which would wrap it up, take the strength of the rain away from it, and not allow it to bear fruit like it should or like it could bear fruit if it not had that pull and tug of the strength upon it. And so when Jesus is saying here, people and out here in the world in which we live, three out of four will maybe people who resist that way of the Lord. They'll have the love of the pleasures of this life and the tugs of this life, and after they find themselves with great joy having come into the Lord, they'll find themselves wanting to go back to that old way of fun and games in life and not paying attention to the things of God, and thus they will fall away. But that of the good and honest heart, he says. The good ground is the good and honest heart. That good and honest heart wants to please God, wants to be all that God would have us to be, and as a result of that, grows in the ways of the Lord. Some bearing fruit 40-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold, but all bearing fruit for the Lord's way, because that is the purpose and the intent of that person, is to not hold it in, but to share it with others and to do all the good that can be done as that heart is taking that word in and letting it grow in full measure in the good and honest heart. There are some people you and I look at out here in the world in which we live, and we think about their lives, and we think about the way that they respond to the gospel teaching that they've heard on radio, or that they say they've seen on television, and of the gospel, and they have been people who say that they like that, they love that, but they have not yet obeyed the gospel. It may very well be that they fit into one of those categories, that none of moisture there. There's not enough root-giving strength there. There's not enough opportunity that's given to them. And they may be on their own fault from the standpoint it's not their way. Somehow or another, they've not come to be that good and that honest heart that bears fruit for the Lord and so grateful for the Word of God coming into that person's life. Parables are wonderful things by which teaching is done. And cast along by the side tells us to be people who are like that. Let's go forth and let's, as we knock on doors, as we invite others at the laundromat, or as we see them in the clubs that we are part of, the activities that we're part of in the community, ball games and so forth, inviting them to be a part of events that we know that are going to be special events for us here at the Crockett congregation. And thus we'll be people who are following the ways of sowing the seed of the kingdom. That old song that's such a familiar song to those days gone by and has become one of the less used, but every time it comes up, it is sung enthusiastically by folks who sing it. Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother? Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, sister? Are you sowing the seed bright and fair? There's the idea of the harvest time is coming on and the reaper's work will soon be done. So the idea of being people who follow that right way is a good and godly thing. We also need to note that the metaphors and the very parables are mixed together. In Romans chapter 6, we read of brethren who were people. Shall we continue in sin? Paul raises a question to them. They're talking about, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall any of us that have died to sin live any longer therein? The idea of being dead is the idea of being unable to live, unable to do, unable to go, unable to make a difference in the community in which you live. As a result of this, sin has a way which we have died to it now. we have been buried with him by baptism into death, and that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we are raised to walk in newness of life. And then he goes on to describe that. He says, for if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not be enslaved or servant to unrighteousness or to sin. When the description is given there, he goes on in Romans 6 and at verses 17 and 18 to say to you and me, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He says, thanks be unto God that we once were the servants of sin, but have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine delivered you. We would be people who were amiss, and sometimes that's the case in a lot of doctrinal teachings in the Bible that we do. We don't read enough, and a lot of our religious friends certainly don't read the next page or read the next line or read the next set of words about it. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? That has an obvious answer to it. But the idea of we once were in sin, but God be thanked that you once were the servants of sin. Don't stop there. But have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine delivered you, being then made free from sin. Well, when were they made free from sin? When they obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine delivered to them? Well, what does he say back there in verses 6 through 8 that they happened to have, that they were made free? They were made free when they were baptized into the death of Christ and raised to walk a new life. And thus that new life here is described in another set of words by way of their ideals that they would find themselves as people who once were enslaved to the dictates of sin and wrongdoing. But they knew what to do with their sins. They now knew what to do. They knew how to cleanse them from themselves by the blood of Christ. They knew how to stay cleansed by the blood of Christ. And if we confess our sins, John will write in 1 John 1:9, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's be people then who follow the teaching of God's word by the various figures of speech that are used in the scripture to tell us that we are different people, that we are people who would die to sin, yet we live. And Paul described it and satisfied it very much in Galatians 2, verse 20, when he said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. It's not I that liveth, but Christ who liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. When we live that way that Paul lived in that regard, we find ourselves being baptized in the death of Christ, raised to walk in newness of life, and in the daily things that we may say that are amiss, that we do that are amiss, can be things that are forgiven by the Lord, and these are things that we will find ourselves not enslaved to sin about. We can put them away from our lives. And we can be people like Paul says, I too am crucified with Christ. I live, but it's not really me. It's Christ who lives in me. And that life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. That faith of the Son of God, that idea of believing in him plus the system of his teaching is characterized in that idea, the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. In the process of his system, he made it possible for people to have that complete forgiveness and that complete hope of the soul as we look forward to the future. It's a blessing to have that idea of understanding in our minds and appreciate the place where we are in the service of God. Many of our friends that may be listening by way of the internet program are going to be surprised to know that you and I believe that we yet do sin, that we yet have an opportunity to be forgiven, and that as John said in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Wonderful is his cleansing for us, and you and I should take advantage of that as we live from day to day. as we sing this song tonight together, let's remember our relationship to the Lord and our relationship to His right way. For one day, it will be the case that this earthly body will remain here. This earthly body will be challenged by the dust. But our real person and us as real individuals will go on to be with the Lord. And we shall meet the Lord in the air if it's that time, and ever be with the Lord. And we have that great hope. Remember, he that was alive was dead, and he's now alive again forevermore.